Hi, welcome to Marketing 25010, Principles of Marketing, the Snow Day Edition. I'm Dr. Larry Marks. This is Lecture 1. It is January 18th, 2022, and my note here is to be prepared to take notes. I had hoped that I'd be in the classroom, so instead of seeing me here at my home office, you'd be seeing something more like this.
So, welcome to Marketing 2505, Principles of Marketing. I am Dr. Larry Marks. This is Lecture 1, January.
And so I would be in the classroom. I hope to be in the classroom on Thursday for the in-person students and recording like that for the web-based students. So we'll see what happens Thursday. These are the housekeeping slides. At the beginning of each class, I will go over the day's housekeeping slides. These slides will include non-testable information, jobs, internships, meetings, speakers, etc., and testable information on slides called Business in the News or Marketing in the News. I haven't provided blank pages in the lecture notes for you to write information down on the marketing or business in the news topics. You'd be paying, if you bought the notes from the bookstore, for blank pages. So be prepared to take notes on a blank page for these slides. I will post a copy of these housekeeping slides in the Learning Materials module on Canvas. I don't post a copy of my lecture slides, but they're available in the online lectures on Canvas, not Blackboard on Canvas. That's left over. So our current enrollment, in case you care, we have 166 people in Bowman 133 in the in-person section. Hope to see you Thursday. And we have a total of 440 people in section 2 and 900. Those are the web-based students. So currently we have 606 students. When you go to Canvas, because I've merged the courses, it'll just say something like section 1, but you're all in the right section, regardless of what the Canvas statement says. If you're on campus for my course or somebody else's courses, please follow the flashes safe date. Get vaccinated. You should be vaccinated by now, unless you have a medical excuse. Wear face coverings where you need to, certainly in the classroom. Monitor your health. If you have any COVID symptoms, don't come to work. Don't attend class. If you're showing symptoms, get tested. Wash your hands, clean and sanitize your workspaces. If you have any questions, reach out to University Health Services at that phone number or that website. Flashes do take care of flashes. So face coverings are required for all campuses, for everyone indoors, regardless of the vaccination status. Exceptions to this requirement are inside your residence hall room, those working alone in an enclosed space, like a private office or lab, those actively eating or drinking in an on-campus dining hall or restaurant. Faculty teaching in person, that will be me, may choose not to wear a face covering while teaching if they can maintain a safe distance of at least 6 feet from their students. I plan to do that in Bowman. If you're a web student, just stay back from your camera a little bit so you can't get infected if I have the disease. If you come to Bowman on Thursday, please do not sit in any of the aisle seats or the front row seats. Oops, I should have blocked that out too. I didn't, to indicate what I'm doing, because I wander around the classroom and I want to be able to do that without being closer than 6 feet to you. Don't sit in the aisle seats. Don't sit in the front row seats, including that one, please. Quick opportunity if you're interested. This might be a little advanced for you, but the law offices of Mark Slonick in Akron, currently looking to add a marketing intern. They want a strategic-minded marketing intern to help them generate new clientele and boost community outreach. The ideal candidate would be proficient in inbound and outbound marketing. The office will rely on the intern's abilities to successfully prepare and present the firm's legal assistance and viability to the community and abroad. There's the list of skills and qualifications. Again, it might be a little advanced for you, but maybe you know somebody who would be interested in such an internship. If you want more details, you or they can send me a note, lmarks@kent.edu. So here we are, the important dates for spring, including yesterday's Martin Luther King Day. Today's spring classes begin with a snow day. And here's the rest of the information, especially, of course, note is when spring break occurs and when spring classes end and when final exams are. So take notes on those things. So heads up, the information in the following couple slides, the business or marketing, the new slides, is testable information in the mini tests. So you want to take notes on these. These are also posted, I continue to say, Blackboard on the Canvas website in the housekeeping slides. I don't include marketing the news questions in the midterms or the final, just so you know that. All right. So on the business and marketing news slides, I try to bold the key points. When I write the mini test questions, I try to focus on the key points that I bolded, including the headlines. So take notes on the key points in particular. If you miss them because they go too fast, the slides are posted in the housekeeping slides folder on Canvas, not Blackboard, sorry. For those who want more information, I always try to provide the source of the item on the last slide. If you wanted to follow up, you could arguably go to that link, okay? So get ready to take notes. Here we go with the first business in the news. By the way, business in the news is intended as a concept that you could run into across any of your classes in the College of Business. We're hoping that faculty will pay attention to these weekly stories and tell you a little bit about the story from the perspective of that class. Not everyone does it, but if it occurs, you sort of get a sense of how these things play out from the interests of different areas. In our case, retailers face taxing start to the year. Expanded child care credits, which provide a reliable boost to Americans' wallets on the 15th of every month, ended a month ago. Those payments, which expanded both the size and eligibility of child tax credits, provided up to $300 per child a month, reviving retail sales that had slowed after Americans stopped receiving the stimulus checks a while ago. What we're seeing here from marketing's perspective is an impact of an external factor, something outside our control, falling in the category of regulation, legal, and political factors, on consumers, and so on marketing. These monthly child tax credit payments boosted consumers' wallets by a collective $16 billion a month on average. So here we see what happens to retail sales last year when we get the last stimulus checks out there. Some people still had savings, retail sales continued up for a while, and then they dropped down, and they dropped down some more. People ran through their savings. Then you got the expanded child credit going on, and retail sales grew and grew and grew, but they've now ended. So last year, there was a noticeable drop in retail sales between April, a month after consumers received their last federal stimulus check, and July, when the monthly child tax credit payments kicked in. Once those monthly child tax credit payments kicked in, and starting mid-July, retail sales picked up every month thereafter. Spending on apparel, fashion students, and in department stores in particular saw a big uptick. So this is an impact on business, an impact on marketing, retailing. Investors in U.S. retail stocks are primed for optimism after a string of pleasant surprises last year, but caution is warranted now. Shoppers might have a lot less to spend as 2022 now kicks off. So we're trying to, as marketers, as business people, predict consumer behavior given these changes in the environment. Stay tuned to see what happens. All right, now on to marketing in the news. If we were in class, I'd ask how many of you guys might be vegetarians, how many of you might be flexitarians, and how many of you are just plain out right meat eaters. You can raise your hand now, students. Vegetarians? From Starbucks, so fast food chains are finally taking vegan food seriously. From Starbucks scrapping its charge for non-dairy milk, to KFC and McDonald's rolling out their vegan burgers nationwide, to Burger King unveiling vegan chicken nuggets, have you tried this? The first week of 2022 brought a whole lot more choice for United Kingdom vegan fast food fans. So we're hearing that now about marketing in the UK, a bit of global marketing. The big chains are finally taking vegan food seriously, even if some of the new product launches have been timed to coincide with the start of Veganuary, January, Veganuary, you've heard of that, as they race to get a slice of a sector that could be worth more than $160 billion globally within the next 10 years. So we see marketers doing what? Adapting to changing consumer tastes, changing consumer preference, important in marketing, and facing down competition in the marketplace as other companies, other brands want a piece of this market. Fast food chains in the US are rolling out more vegan dishes too, although at a somewhat slower rate. Chipotle has launched its plant-based chorizo nationally, while other chains including KFC, Burger King, Charles Jr., and McDonald's are scrambling to partner with big name fake meat brands like Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat. Have you tried any of those vegan burgers? Some of them aren't too bad. Different strategies occur in different global markets, the UK moving at a different pace than in the US, and we see now the importance of partnerships with these vendors to marketing. The fact that vegans still only represent a small chunk of the population isn't a problem to this market, to this sector, and that's because it's not just vegans driving the trend. Instead, non-vegans are helping to fuel the plant-based boom by trying to cut down on their meat and fish and dairy intake. Anybody try to do that periodically? Parents? So we see the importance of understanding the differences in consumers and their motivations and their behaviors as we plan our marketing offerings. Technological innovations mean that new plant-based products are becoming available, and the growing number of vegans and flexitarians is creating a bulging market for plant-based meat replicas. Here, we're seeing the importance of another external factors outside the firm on consumers and on us, the importance of technology to marketing and our consumers. These factors are essentially creating an interesting loop. The more demand there is for plant-based food, the more lucrative is the market for restaurants. And as a result, they're offering more vegan options at lower prices, which in turn tempts more people to try out the meals. So expect to see more and more plant-based dishes popping up on restaurant menus, and expect them to get cheaper and tastier too. So we're seeing consumer demand as a factor in marketing and marketing plans, and an interesting prediction about how price changes over something called the product life cycle, in this case for non-meat burgers, etc. And we'll talk about that much later on in the course. Finally, a bit of fun taken from a topic called the top five creative campaigns you need to know about right now. And the third one of these, just because I'm showing, just because I thought it was amusing, is for Apple. The campaign is called, part of a campaign called Hollywood in Your Pocket, to show off the filmmaking capabilities of its iPhone 13 Pro. Apple debuted a trio of hilarious films that poked fun at cinematic conventions within familiar film genres such as mystery, psychological thrillers, or horror. So we're seeing them run ads, films, for a new model, a new product, and it's focused on the new model or product's feature, and we see a bit of humor in advertising. Let's take a look first at detectives and see how it plays out.
Can I ask you a question? Am I out of focus?
You're fine.
Yeah, but I mean, look at me, I'm all blurry.
Well, you're supporting cast.
What?
The camera focuses on the most important character, which is me.
Well, what if my character had a big reveal?
Like what?
Like maybe I'm the killer.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see this particular ad. Detectives plays with the phone's cinematic mode capabilities to highlight how a camera's shift of focus on specific characters highlights their importance or lack thereof to the story. When the picture sharpens on the wingman, the story takes a hilarious, suspenseful turn. So what are we doing here? We're seeing an ad that gets the consumer's attention, I think, and builds awareness of the product's features. Of course, that's what we need to do to get consumers to want the product. So the spots continue the brand's Hollywood in Your Pocket campaign. So marketing, business and marketing everywhere. All right, so that's the end of business/marketing the news and the housekeeping slides. We begin with lecture notes, page 9. If you have the lecture notes, I hope you do. It's going to help out. And we'll see where we get in this time period. We might get to a bit of chapter 1 of the book. I'll let you know. Okay, so bear with me a second. So here we are with the content, if you will, for today. Again, we're on lecture notes, page 9. This is important information about how the course works and maybe a bit of course content. We'll see how that part goes. So this is the syllabus review for 2022 spring. A brief overview of the syllabus. It's available from the class website on Canvas. You should print it out for yourself and read it. Pages 4 to 7 of the lecture notes show the scheduled classes and the tests, which are also on Canvas in the About Course Testing Material module. So you can see information there. All the schedules are out on the Canvas in the various modules, beginning on page 9 of the lecture notes. So who am I? I am Dr. Lawrence J. Marks. Hi. You can call me Dr. Marks, Mr. Marks, Sir Lawrence, Larry, hey you. And frankly, you can call me anything you like outside of the classroom where I can't hear you. You can reach me from your KSU email address or from Canvas. You can reach me at lmarks@kent.edu. My office is room 516 in the College of Business across the street from us, BSA. My office phone, 330-672-1266. So for those that are visual learners, what do we see? Here I am in the College of Business, fifth floor, that side, room 516. Where are we? We're over here in Bowen 133, if you're an in-person student. So I'm just across George Janik Drive. And if you like the Google Maps version, here's the same information from a overhead Google Maps view showing where we are in person and where my office is. Office hours will be right after our regular class, which ends at 5 o'clock, so around 5:15 to around 6 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday. Unfortunately, if you have the lecture notes, the syllabus there misprinted with Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday in room 516 BSA, but more easily, and especially in a pandemic, perhaps better, I'm certainly willing to meet with you online by appointment. Let me know that you'd like to chat. I'll set up a Teams, Google, or Zoom meeting, whether you're an in-person student or a web-based student, no problem. The required textbook is Marketing, the 15th edition by Roger Curran and Stephen Hartley. It's McGraw-Hill, I think it's 2021 publication date. It's available as an e-textbook through Flashbooks. It's packaged with Connect Plus access at no additional charge if you stay with Flashbooks. So you have access to the e-textbook, and Connect is what we use for optional extra credit. However, and importantly to note, you'll need, want, desire a physical copy of the book. So you can get the Kent State Loose Leaf edition of the book. It looks like that on the slide. It looks like this. Okay, the loose leaf edition. Why is that? Because for the two midterms and the final exam, you cannot access the e-textbook because during those proctored exams, you could be doing anything. You could be looking things up online. You could be talking to a friend. I don't know what you're doing. So you want the physical copy of the book for those open book, open notes tests. The Loose Leaf edition is available from the Kent Campus Bookstore after the Flashbooks opt-out deadline. You also could, for example, buy it from McGraw-Hill, probably more expensively there. If you purchase a version of the textbook that doesn't come packaged with Connect Plus, because you didn't want to stay with Flashbooks, you can choose to purchase access to that site at a later date for a $125 fee. Not a good idea, not a good value. If you're going that route, stay with Flashbooks. I can't tell you, if you'll do well with some other edition of the textbook. Please be aware that the weekly mini tests, the midterms, and the final exam have questions based specifically on the 15th edition and the week's lectures. That's why I call it a required textbook. If you want to find the book online, you want to opt out of Flashbooks and find the book online, go check the Start Here module on the Class Canvas website. Click on the About Flashbooks for Marketing 25010, what you get with it and how to opt out of it and get the book elsewhere. And there's a list of places you could look to see if you can find the 15th edition in a physical copy separate from Flashbooks. McGraw-Hill Connect comes with Flashbooks. It's a web-based assignment and assessment site. We use it for the optional enhanced learning extra credit assignments, ELECs. It's included with Flashbooks along with access to the e-textbook, the McGraw-Hill online textbook. You choose to opt out of Flashbooks, you're not going to pay for the Connect website separately, too expensive. There is another option for you. You can get optional extra credit through something called PacBack. PacBack is a web-based question and answer site. I use PacBack for optional assignments, not optional enhanced learning assignments, in place of the optional enhanced learning extra credit assignments. You can buy into that for $30 a semester, less expensive than buying Connect separately. So you can either earn extra credit for doing the Connect enhanced learning extra credits or for doing the PacBack extra credits, You get the same amount of credit either way, added to your course if you want to do optional extra credit. Go check the extra credit folder on the Canvas website for more details on this. I walk you through it. All right. Also, very strongly recommended by me and by many students over the years is the lecture notes. The lecture notes are available as a free download from the class website on Canvas in the Learning Materials module. Click on that and you'll see that you can download it. You need to print it out for the midterms and the final exam because, again, you can't use any online access to anything other than the test for those exams. So you need physical copies of the book, physical copies of the lecture notes. If you don't want to download it and print it out, it's available from the Kent Campus Bookstore for about $28 for the packet, okay? You don't want to spend the money, you don't care, take handwritten notes, it's okay with me. So, it's available now. On a snow day, maybe not, but in general, it's available. Prereq for the course is Economics 22060, that's Principles of Microeconomics. If you do not have Econ 22060 completed, you should not have been able to get into the class. And if you did manage to get into the class, you risk automatic deregistration from the class if the system finds you. I'm not out there looking for it, but if the system finds you, they're going to deregister you. So be sure you have completed 22060 Principles of Micro. It's a prerequisite for the course. So why are we going to spend time together? What are we trying to achieve here? Well, with any luck on work on your part, we will, at the end of the course, you will have a working knowledge of marketing terminology, concepts, activities, and strategies. Why do you care about that? You're never going to be a marketer. Well, obviously, in business, you need to know what other aspects of the business are doing. It gives you a greater appreciation for what your job is, how you fit in the overall structure, and what those people over there in that other department are doing. Obviously, from my perspective, I focus on the marketing department. So you're going to know the terminology, concepts, activities, and strategies so you can talk to other people in a business world. So terminology, strategy, concepts, activities is a little icon to represent we're talking about those things. You will have, I hope, an understanding of the marketing functions within the organization and in the context of external environments. The same sort of logic here. You need to know what's going on in your organization, what's causing your business to be successful or not. So we're going to see a bit about marketing functions with that icon. You will have knowledge of the ways in which marketing contributes to the attainment of organizations' objectives and goals. I do understand there are other departments out there, but from a marketing viewpoint, from my viewpoint, it's marketing that's important to the organization's objectives and goals. And we'll see an icon that looks like that periodically. And hopefully you have an appreciation for the global and ethical aspects of marketing. So those may pop up periodically as well. Yes? So students attending the course who do not have the proper prereqs risk being deregistered from the course. I already noticed that. You have the responsibility to ensure you're properly enrolled in classes. The add drop date, if I have it right for this semester, is Monday, January 31st. The course withdrawal deadline for this semester, you can withdraw until midnight on Monday, April 4th. Between February 1st and April 4th, you can withdraw and you'll get a W for the course prior to January 31st, you withdraw, just be dropped. It's not a withdrawal, it just goes away. If you're not properly registered in the course, you don't get a grade for the class. Even if you've sat through the whole course and somehow taken the tests, if you're not registered for the course, you can't get a grade for the course. Make sure you're registered properly. Academic honesty, I'm a big, important to me is ethics and honesty. So be honest. Cheating means to misrepresent the source, nature, or other conditions of your academic work on tests, papers, projects, assignments, so that you get undeserved credit. In this course, that's going to be mostly on tests, and you don't want to cheat. So my comment is, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. In the classroom, in your personal life, in business, if you cheat in the class, be very good at cheating. I watch for cheating, and if I catch you, I will see you in student conduct court and we'd be talking about the F you got on the assignment or for the class. I'm serious. Don't do it, please, in the classroom, in your personal life, or in business. All test questions and answers are copyrighted. You cannot reproduce those things. You can't copy them. You can't upload them to study. You can't sell them. If I associate you with any of those things, I'll see you in student conduct court. Don't do them. You cannot have test questions and answers at the tests. That's cheating. Also, submitting falsified documentation to be allowed to take an assignment late is cheating. So if you have a medical excuse, you have a medical excuse, but don't fake one. Actually call the office to see if it was real. Be honest. Students with disabilities, verify your eligibility through SAS, Student Accessibility Services. You can contact them there. They'll provide the documentation to me, and I will give you the accommodation that you are supposed to get. If you are an international student for whom English is a second language, send me an email to request extended time. You can tell already, I speak really fast. We cover material pretty quickly. How would you like to be taking this in a foreign language? So once I verify your international status, I'll give you access to the extended time mini tests, midterm, and final. But you need to email me a request for extended time. I can't do it automatically. Title IX, anti-harassment and discrimination policy. As an instructor, one of my responsibilities is to help create a safe learning environment in our class. Kent State's and federal Title IX law prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex, which includes sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, domestic and dating violence, sexual assault, stalking, also fits into my categories of don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. Sexual violence can undermine students' academic success, and we, and I, encourage students who've experienced any form of sexual misconduct to talk to someone about their experience so they can get the support that they need. You can speak privately without disclosing your name to the Sexual and Relationship Violence Support Services at that phone number or that email. Safe Space Allies can be located at that email. You can speak confidentially to someone at Psychological Services. Do not harass other people. Do not discriminate against other people. And if you are so abused, don't put up with it. Get help. Report the incident. If you're going to graduate, some of you in this class may be graduating. They're the deadlines. You should know about those. Attendance verification. One of the federal rules that governs the eligibility of students to receive federal financial aid, as well as the eligibility of an institution to award and accept that aid, is that we must verify that students begin attendance in each course for which they are registered. I need to report whether you've been academically present in your class at least once to retain eligibility for federal financial aid using the Academic Presence Verification roster. For this class, Marketing 25010, attendance verification is based on your completing mini tests 1 and 2. Failure to complete these before their deadline will result in your being reported as not academically present. You'll immediately lose access to the class on Canvas, and you'll get a notification from the university of never attended grade of F. It's a mess. You don't want to miss mini tests 1 and 2. If you're here, participate in the course content. All right, so how do we deliver the class? Well, this is not an independent learning class. The lectures are created in person, real time, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I then upload them in online audio and video formats. They're available through Canvas. The lecture at video.kent.edu will be closed caption if you find that I'm talking fast and you want to read what I'm saying. Camtasia is an alternative way that I put up the information, and it is another way to get the audio and video. You do need reasonably fast internet access. Audio versions only. If you can't sleep at night and you want something to put you to sleep, just listen to the audio. Is available at video.kent.edu, but importantly through Canvas, in MP3 format, and in a Windows Media Player format, WMA, from Canvas. And I send emails out, or let me say I post announcements when these are ready. I assume you get them as email, but there seems to be some confusion about that right now. Testing. Testing is done online through Canvas. You don't need to buy access to the book for the tests. They live on Canvas. The 13 weekly mini tests are not proctored, but after mini test one, they do use a lockdown browser from Proctorio. So after the first test, I don't want you going out and looking stuff up for these tests. You should have a physical copy of the book. The midterms and the final examinations are proctored using Proctorio. I will be verifying your identity. You'll show a ID card. I'll be videoing you during the exam. I'll be listening to audio. So that's intended, of course, to assure academic honesty during the exams. So to access the course on Canvas, go to, well, you can go to Flashline and click on the appropriate thing, right? Or you can go directly to kentinstructure.com. But on Flashline, you can click on this little link, and you can either go to your courses in Canvas if they're there, or Blackboard if they're there. So here we are at the course, more or less. You know, perhaps if you've been there, that the Flashbooks information pops up. This is where you could opt out of Flashbooks if you wanted to. So this is our class website. So how do you register with Connect and access the ebook if you decide to stay with Flashbooks? Well, you can click on McGraw-Hill Connect, and it'll take you through the registration process. So this class makes use of the KSU Flashbook option. It can be a bit confusing, but here's the way it works. All students in the class who don't opt out are charged $87 for the Flashbook program. You'll see a Flashbooks charge on your bursar bill. This charge can be included in payment plans, can be paid by financial aid, so that makes it easy. Flashbooks gives you access to the digital edition of the textbook, the e-textbook, and to the material that we use for the optional enhanced learning extra credit assignments. Those can add up to 3% to your course grade. With Flashbooks, you don't have to purchase an access code for this digital content. The digital material is available right away. Click on the McGraw-Hill Connect link and register with your KSU ID. All right. If you want to opt out of Flashbooks, right, you can opt out by January 24th, next Monday. If you want to opt back in, you decided that was a bad idea, you can opt back in by February 14th. Students who don't opt out of Flashbooks, students who stay with it, can purchase a physical copy of the book, which I highly recommend, from the KSU bookstore for a discounted price of about $30. Unfortunately, you can't do it until a few days after the opt-out deadline, so it makes that first mini-test a problem. The physical book is desirable because you can't access any digital materials during the online proctored mini-tests or final exams. So it should help you to study for these exams plus the weekly mini-tests. All tests are open book and open notes, physical copies. So having access to the physical book and notes is very helpful. The option to buy the discounted price physical book will be available on the bookstore site after the, not September 1, after the January 24th opt-out date. The total cost of Flashbooks plus the discounted physical book is less than the cost for the book and digital access if we weren't in the Flashbooks program. It would be about $150 otherwise. The physical book plus digital access is listed for something like $220 on the McGraw-Hill site, if I'm not mistaken. If you opt out of Flashbooks for the class, you receive a credit on your account. You must take this action by the opt-out date, January 24th. The only way to opt out is to select the Flashbook link in our course. Select the Want to Opt Out on the tile with your course content. You receive a confirmation email of the action. Then you're responsible for getting all the required course content on your own. You can choose. It's your grade. You can choose to do whatever you want. You can opt out and choose to not have any book at all. I don't recommend that because a lot of the test questions are specific to this edition of the textbook. It's up to you. You could choose to rent or buy some other edition of the book from another student, from the internet. These are not going to come with access to optional extra credit and might not work well for you because some test questions are specific to the 15th edition. You can choose to rent or buy the 15th edition from the internet or a student. That would put you on target with what you need to have. You can purchase digital access to the current edition directly from McGraw-Hill without access to the optional extra credit. If you're going to search for online for the 15th edition, here's the ISBN info. You're looking for Marketing by Curran and Hartley, 15th edition, copyright 2021. In my opinion, and the opinion of many other students, you're going to want or need a physical copy of the textbook. I may mention that. If you want the opportunity or an extra credit and opt out of Flashbooks so you don't have access to Connect online extra credit, first you can purchase access to the digital edition and the McGraw-Hill extra credit separately from Flashbooks, but that's not a good idea. It's worse than Flashbooks. Second, you can purchase access to PackBack. That's the alternative way I talked about, to earn optional extra credit, about $30. And again, you can see the details in the extra credit module on Canvas. Click on that and you'll find the information. So what are some important information about the class website? Well, the homepage provides information about me, the textbook, links to course materials, Start Here, Learning Materials, Exam, Extra Credit. The Start Here module contains the basic information you need to know about the class, including the early welcome message, which either you did or didn't get as an email, the course objectives, a to-do list, and the class lecture schedule. The syllabus is always available online. Sometimes I have to revise it because there's an error. The revision will be available in the syllabus link. About the course testing requirements, that's a module. This module has details about the mini test schedule, and the schedule for the midterms, the final exam, and it has a grade calculator. The various exams are graded, weighted differently. You want to see how you're doing in your grade, download the grade calculator, input your actual grades, it'll tell you how you're doing. The learning materials module looks like this on the website. This is where you can find your course learning materials. It has the lecture notes, which we've talked about. You can download it or buy it. It has the online lectures, where presumably you went to see this lecture. The links to lectures in both the video and audio format. The housekeeping slides. I've already said I don't give you the PowerPoint slides of the lectures, but I will upload the housekeeping slides to that site. You'll be able to see those in the learning materials module. So it's important to know what type of student you are for the tests. You're either a standard time student or an extended time student. How do you find out which one you are? Click on grades, then look to see what score you have for web-based extended time ungraded assignment and for web-based standard time ungraded assignment. The one that has a score of 1 indicates how you are coded. This student looks here in grades under these assignments, and they see what? That they have a 1 under the web-based standard time code. They'll have access to the standard time exams. They won't have access to the extended time exams. They've been coded as a standard time student. Check it out, see what you see. If you don't see anything, let me know, because you aren't going to have access to any exams. All right, so we're back to the home page one more time. That's sort of what it looks like. So what should you be doing? Well, you might want to check the introduction. If you haven't done, clicking on that little video link. You might want to check out the introduction to to Canvas. If you want, check the other information that's out there. Syllabus, okay, check the syllabus by clicking on that link. There we are. The syllabus is available right on the site. You can scroll down and look at that, or you can download it by clicking on this link. Choice is yours. Certainly ought to have the syllabus available to yourself. Back to home, let's go to the modules. Here we're seeing the Start Here module. All right, so early welcome, course objectives, to-do list, about Flashbooks, including what you get and how to get the book other ways. And here is the class schedule. Click there, this is also in the syllabus, to see what the lecture schedule looks like, okay? Check your Canvas and KSU email. Back to the modules. Here's about the course testing material. You can read about the 13 mini tests if you like. You can check the mini test and the exam schedules in the About Course Testing module. I'll give you more information. Check out the grade calculator, download it, see what it looks like. You'll be able to see how you can calculate your current course grade. The spring lecture notes, we already talked about being in the learning module. keep in mind the housekeeping slides that will be there. And there's where you're going to click to view this lecture. Again, I presume you already clicked there to get this. All right, exams for web-based standard time or extended time students. Do the mini tests based on your coding. It's going to be standard time or extended time. There are 13 of those weekly. Do the review test. Every time a exam closes for a grade, it opens up to be reviewed. You can take the review test as many times as you want. The tests themselves are random draws of questions from a massive pool of lecture questions and textbook questions. And if you want to study for the midterms and the final, go do the review tests over and over again. You'll see a whole bunch of questions that you didn't see on the mini tests that will help you to study for the midterms and the final. The extra credit folder is out there as a module link, extra credit module. Keep those in mind. You can either do the McGraw-Hill Connect, Enhanced Learning Extra Credits, or the Pack Back. Click on those to find more about them. The point of all this is to stay in touch with the course material. I'm going to be talking to you and send you emails or announcements, but you want to stay in touch yourself. So the class website we already talked about is out there at that link, but it's also available through Flashline. But if you click on the link, you get to the course as well, okay? So get there through Flashline or get there by going directly to the link. The choice is yours. Okay, so let's think about our grading. Kent State University policy is that midterm grades have to be submitted for all 10,000 and 20,000 level course, marketing 25010. The midterm grades will be based on the first five mini tests. They're worth approximately 19% of your course grade. Your final course grade is based on 13 mini tests. Those are 50% of your course grade. Two midterms exams. Those are each worth 17% of your course grade. And a final exam worth 16% of your course grade. You can see the weightings of each of those are different in your final course grade, which is why the grade calculator can be helpful. Plus, we'll add to that any extra credit points that you earn from the Enhanced Learning Extra Credit on McGraw-Hill Connect or from PackBack. And there is the possibility that we'll talk about if some research extra credit, depending on what Kent State researchers need this semester. How do we break things down? Well, the letter grade of A is 92.6 and above. A minus 92.5, 89.6 to 92.5, etc. Those are the cuts. As you can see, the class does use the plus minus grade system. If you want to be a marketing major, you have to earn a C in the course. That's a 2.0, okay, or better. A C minus, 1.7, doesn't meet the requirement, okay? So if you want to be a major, pay attention to your grades. Now, really important, now and at the end of the course, pay attention. You get the grade that you earn in this course. I do not make adjustments for you really, really, really needing a better grade. I don't make adjustments for you being only 0.3 or 0.2 or 0.1 away from the next better grade. I don't make adjustments for any reason other than an error on my side, an error in the calculation. If you find an error, let me know. You'll get the grade you deserve. Asking, pleading, crying, and or offering bribes do not work. I'm sorry. Unless one of your parents is a billionaire, in which case we can talk. But otherwise, I'm not going to change your grade. I don't know what you're used to in other courses. Pay attention to your grades. Do the extra credits. Earn the grade that you need or want. Seriously. There's no extra work at the end of the course. There's no additional chances at the end of the course. There's no grade change at the end of the course. Earn what you need or want to get. It's true for you, and it's true for every other student in the course, okay? Please. So, calculating your final grade is a little difficult to do because of the different weights. The correct calculation is the total of all mini-test scores, there's 13 of them, divided by 13, so that's the average, times 0.5, weighted 50%. Midterm 1, usually there's a curve, so I'll say curve midterm 1 times 0.17, curve midterm 2 times 0.17, curve final exam times 0.16, plus any extra credit is equal to your course grade. to the decimal. That's what the grade is you will get. A missed mini test counts as zero. We don't drop any grades. No grades are dropped. 13 mini tests, 2 midterms, and a final. You miss one, you get a zero. All right? Adding up your total points and dividing by 16 or whatever other strange thing you do isn't going to give you the correct calculation. That's the calculation. Use the grade calculator. It does the work for you. So suppose you have an average of 85 on the 13 mini tests, 72 on mini curve midterm 1, 70 on curve midterm 2, 82 on the curve final, and you earn 2.2% in extra credit. There's the grade calculation, 0.85 times 0.5, 0.72 times 0.17, 0.70 times 0.17, 0.84 times 0.16, plus 0.022. It equals those numbers, which is equal to 82.3. It's a B minus for the course. Needless to say, if you've done more extra credit, your final course grade would have been higher. For example, adding 0.5%, 0.005 in extra credit would have earned you an 82.8, or a B for the course. I've mentioned the grade calculator. You can download it and input your grades as you go to see where you stand. That's what it looks like, inputting your grades as you go, boop, 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 etc. It'll tell you where you stand. And further down in the spreadsheet, it'll tell you what you need to do in the rest of the course material to earn any particular grade. All right, so you need to watch for deadlines for the mini tests, extra credit assignments, midterms, and finals. Once an assignment closes, it's very rare for it to be opened. It's been open for multiple days, and it's on a schedule that's already been published. Once we get to finals, mini tests, extra credit opportunities, everything's closed. Do everything before their deadline. At the end of the course, your final course grade is calculated using the formula I talked about. Did I mention, I may not have, there are no changes to your final course grade for any reason other than an error. Earn the grade you want. Okay, more detail about the mini tests. 13 mini tests, they are 10 question, multiple choice exams, time limit of 15 minutes, 30 minutes for extended time. That's not enough time to look up every question in your ebook or in your physical copy. You're supposed to study for the material, answer many of them from what you've studied, and then go back, look up a few that you don't know. The questions are randomly drawn from a pool of questions covering the previous lecture's content, which includes the textbook material. So the questions cover both the textbook and the lecture material, including for the mini test, business and marketing in the news, yeah? So, what am I trying to tell you with this Venn diagram? Anybody? Okay, well, what's this telling you? What it's telling you is that I have lecture material that is not covered by the textbook. And what's this telling you? There's textbook material not covered by the lecture. I don't just lecture what the textbook says. However, there is some overlap between the two, right? Now, what do you imagine, given my attitude about stuff so far, is testable? Well, the lecture material that's not in the textbook, testable. The textbook material, not in the lecture, testable. The overlap between the two, testable. The point is, it's all testable material. 40% of the questions in every mini test, midterm, and final come from the lecture material. Now, when I overlap with the textbook material, it might be a little hard to tell where the question is coming from. Almost all of my questions that I write from lectures say things like, according to the instructor, in class we learned, in class we heard, to give you a clue about where it's coming from. Every midterm, mini test, final, 60% of the questions are from the textbook, all the time. All right? So, just a heads up about the relative material. So it's all testable material in those proportions. The mini tests are open book, open notes, unproctored, meaning I'm not going to record you, with the browser locked down after mini test one, and they're available for at least 5 days after the material has been presented. So you have 5 days to take it, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You can take each mini test as many as 5 times until the deadline. And what score am I going to keep of your 5 attempts? Your highest score. That's the one that counts for your grade. You might imagine that given that, everybody must end up with A's. I guarantee you they don't. People take it one time and stop with the 30%. I don't understand it. Sometimes they even bug you about it. But I'm going to keep your highest score out of 5 attempts. Because they're open for 5 days, There are no makeups for these things unless you're truly incapacitated, can prove it, write to me, explain your problem. But in general, 5 days is enough time to take it. Write the deadlines from the schedule that's in the syllabus and on Canvas in your planner now so you don't forget about them. I will send announcements that I hope show up as emails to you about them. Don't wait until the last minute because something gets in the way. There's a power outage, a snowstorm, you lost your computer. Don't forget to take the mini tests. And there is a sample mini test available right now that doesn't count in your grade. Just go out and see what they look like. It's ungraded, but it gets you a chance to see what's going on. So, is this guy for real? Well, let's see what people have to say on ratemyprofessors.com. Awesome teacher. Makes you work for your grade, but overall, a great class, learned a lot. Thank you. Offers extra credit, lectures are interesting and helpful, gives every opportunity to earn an A. You just need to put in the work. Yes, yes. Do the work, put in the time and effort, study before all quizzes and tests, and you will excel. Highly recommend. Dr. Marks is a true Kent State asset. Aw, shucks, thank you. Took courses online over the fall. Video lectures were extremely easy to view. Mini tests were not hard at all. Professor very responsive to email. Print out the course notes. They'll help you so much and help you write so much less while learning information and making a study guide for the midterms and final exam. Yes, indeedy. Marx's classes is harder than most marketing classes, and you need to put in the effort. Reading the book is a must. And if you don't normally read the textbook, you're going to get half the tests wrong. His tests are based half textbook and half lecture. Well, 60-40, but still, pretty true. If you'd rather be lazy, not take notes, and study the bare minimum, you'll not do well. If you actually care to learn and understand, then Dr. Marks is a phenomenal teacher. You get what you put in. Those who are not willing to earn a high grade should drop. Those who actually enjoy learning, I highly recommend. Hard. Pay attention. Go to class. Study weeks before the exams. Follow his directions very closely. What a waste of time. You have to bury your face in the textbook, in the notes, attend class every day. This is no easy A. Well, guilty, as charged. Different people have different perceptions of the same course, obviously. We'll see what your perception is. If you don't do well on the first few mini tests, the weekly tests, you're probably not putting in enough effort. This is not rocket science. It's not physics or chemistry or math. But it does require attention and studying the material. Because this class is very convenient, it's available 24/7, etc., there's a temptation to take shortcuts. Don't do it. It's intended to be convenient. It's not intended to be very easy. So don't confuse the two. It's not necessarily easy. As you know, the rule of thumb for college-level work is you need to spend 2 to 3 hours outside of class preparing for every hour in class. So you should be spending 6 hours each week preparing for Marketing 25010 in addition to the time spent in class reviewing the lectures. What should you be doing for this time? Read the material. Highlight the material, maybe various colors. Definitions one color, concepts another color, examples a different color. Study it and review it like it's a real course, yeah? C-level work for the course, for example, would be 100% on the mini test, 50% on the midterms and final. You get a C. To do better, you need to work harder. It requires work to get an A in the class. C's are not too hard to earn. In fact, in a minute, you'll see B's and A's aren't that hard. As noted, plan on spending time each week reading the book, taking quizzes, reviewing the notes. It's easy to get behind if you don't pay attention to your schedule. Schedule the lectures, schedule the exams. Don't forget to take the mini test before their deadline. Midterm exam. Midterm exams are each worth 17% of the total course grade. They're taken using Proctorio, our online proctoring system. Midterm exams are 50 questions. They're timed to last 80 minutes or 160 minutes if you're an extended time student. These questions are randomly drawn from the same pool of questions used for the mini tests without any marketing of the news questions. Now, it's a big pool of questions. So if you don't go back and use the review test to study things, you may very well see questions on the midterms you never saw on your 5 attempts at the mini tests. Why? It's a big pool of questions. Midterm 1 covers lectures 1 to 10, which is mini test 1 to 5. It's available beginning Wednesday, February 23rd at 8 a.m. via Proctorio, and it closes Wednesday, March 2nd, with the last Proctorio log on at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Take notes of those dates and those times and those deadlines. Write them down so you don't forget about midterm one. Midterm two exam covers lectures 11 to 20, mini test 6 to 10. It's available from 8 a.m. on Wednesday, March 6th to Wednesday, March 13th, with the last login at 5 p.m. Eastern Time using Proctorio. Take note of those dates and those deadlines so you don't miss midterm two. You will use Proctorio for the midterm exams and the final exam. You have to show a picture ID. KSU ID is preferred, but passports are okay, driver's license are okay. And check your student type on the class website to be sure you're scheduled to take the right type of test, which you should know by then. Midterms exams are open book, open notes. International students, you can use a standard hard copy translation dictionary. Show it to the camera. No one can use any other electronic devices during the exam. You can't use a cell phone. Schedule your call with your mom later. Can't use any other computers. Can't use any other electronic translators. You cannot have any open windows on your computer other than the exam window. You can't use any other electronic device during the test. That would be cheating. So you can't make use of an ebook for the midterms or the final. You need a physical book. If you've taken notes on your computer during the semester, you'll need to print those out for the midterms and the final because you can't access them on your computer during the midterm or the final. You cannot have mini test questions and answers in your possession. It's prohibited anyway because they're copyrighted. You can't copy them, print them, etc. Final exam, worth 16% of the course grade, includes all material from lecture 21, mini test 11, until the end of the term, ending with chapter 21 of the textbook, with no marketing in the news or business in these questions. It will be available during finals week between Thursday, May 5th at 8 a.m. and Tuesday, May 10th, last login, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, via Proctorio, 50 questions, 80 minutes, open books, open notes, no other digital material. Questions randomly draw from the same pool of questions used for the mini tests. Show a picture ID. There's not makeups, it's open for a long time. Don't wait until the last hour to take it. With all of this, you might be asking yourself, how do students do in the course? So I've taken the time to go back and look at students across the semesters and see how they're doing. So as you can see, about a quarter to 30% of the students in the course get A's or A minuses. About a third to 30% of the students get a B, B plus, B or B minus. About a quarter of the students get C's, C plus, C and C minus. About 10%, last semester was an anomaly, get D pluses or D's. I don't know what they're doing. And despite all our good work to try to keep students on track, about 5, 6 or higher in this last fall get F's. You're just not trying, you've given up. Average in the course, after the curves, etc., is right around 80%. So on average, the course grade is around 80%. What would you expect for a very massive section like this in a sophomore course? You wouldn't expect it to see everyone to get A's, etc. So that's where it looks. You can get the grade that you want. So to succeed, take the mini tests early and then retake them up to 5 times until you've earned 100%. Return to the material by using the review test. Study those over and over again. If you do that, by the time the midterms and the final grade are given, the material and the questions will be very familiar to you because you've studied the review test. You might even see, obviously, a review test question on the midterms or the final. During the COVID-19 pandemic, all students have to comply with the university's published health and safety protocols, the FLASH Safe 8 principles. So you need to do that. Stay in touch with the course, either in person or via the online lectures. I've already talked about verifying your attendance using mini tests 1 and 2. Do that, don't miss those. It's a miss, don't miss those tests. Participation in person or via email, if you have questions, is a good thing. Distractions in electronics, despite what people think or say, you can't really multi-process that well. You can't have cell phones or out during class. It distracts you, it distracts other people around you. And maybe you shouldn't have them out when you view the lectures online. It's going to distract you there as well. Harassment, other than me occasionally harassing you to get work done, isn't tolerated, so be polite. Check Canvas site multiple times during the week to make sure you're still on track of things. Ask questions when you don't understand something, whether it's about process, procedure, or exam questions, or the course material. Be polite in class and online, sort of don't harass people. International students, for whom English is a second language, contact me for extra time. We've talked about that. This is a standard slide. Ironically, it's come into play on some occasions, like the first day of classes. The university may cancel classes due to some situations. Please note that if possible, I may still give a lecture and post it online as a video. In that case, I'll let you know via email and announcements on the class website. I'm still vague on that. And expect that you will view the lecture and be responsible for the material covered, as you are today. Communication policy. Official communications on KSU email or to lmarks at Kent or using the Canvas email is what you need to do. Don't write me from hotbody@hotmail.com. I don't know it's you. Somebody could be spoofing. So it has to be official. Always use as the subject line marketing 25010, whatever. That way I can pay attention to it. I get hundreds of emails a day. So for example, marketing 25010, question about mini test one. I know what it's about, and I'm able to see it's a course related question. Phone messages, which you can phone me, are not official communications. I can't verify the messages from you. We'd have to work out more detail about who you are, but you can phone me if you like. All right, extra credit. Enhanced learning extra credit is done through McGraw-Hill Connect. Follow the instructions in the extra credit module on the Canvas website. For these, you get 3 attempts. We keep your best grade. The 10 weekly enhanced learning extra credits can add up to 0.3% each to your final course grade. 10 times 0.3, 3% added to your final course grade, almost half a grade boost, might be worth it. Packback, you decided to opt out of Flashbooks, but you still want to earn extra credit. Follow the instructions in the extra credit module on the Canvas website. You need to post one interesting question related to the course material for each of the 10 weekly sessions, worth 0.1%, and respond insightfully to 2 posted questions, each worth 0.1%. So that's a total of up to 0.3% each assignment. You can add 3% to your final course grade on the same schedule as the enhanced learning extra credit assignments. Check that out if that's of interest. Research extra credit, depending on the researcher's needs each semester, it's possible that we might have the opportunity to help researchers out by answering survey questions or whatever they need. That usually adds 0.5% to your final course grade. Those are well worth it, but I don't know yet if we'll have any, okay? So that's an overview of the course. Here's the class schedule. It's on the Canvas website. It's in the lecture notes. It's in the syllabus. And we are here today, Tuesday, January 18th, lecture 1, introduction, and we might get to creating customer relationships and values. I think we will, which is a bit of chapter 1. There's the rest of the class schedule. You can see that I've also posted on this schedule the midterm exams, midterm 1, midterm 2, there's spring break, by the way, and the final exam. All right, so that information is available now. Get it in your planner, okay? Here's the preliminary mini test schedule. The first one will open this Friday, the 21st. It'll run until next Tuesday, the 25th. It'll cover whatever you get through in lectures 1 and 2. I'll let you know what that material is, but that's what we're going to cover in mini test 1. And it's a little unfortunate timing because the hard copy of the book isn't available yet. So I don't lock down mini test 1. You could go off and look things up in the e-text book, or you could study the e-text first so you're ready for the exam. Okay, there's the rest of the schedules. Here's the enhanced learning and pack back schedule. These are known dates, known times. Write them down to earn those optional extra credit points. Yeah? A number of years ago, when I set this course up to do it for myself in this fashion, I went out and I interviewed some KSU alumni and other successful business people and gave them a series of prompts, a series of questions, and asked them to give me their opinions on these topics. And the intent was to demonstrate, in some cases, they're KSU grads, where you can go from Marketing 25010 at KSU. Also to give you a real world view of our classroom concepts. Everything we talk about here is real world. And these video guest lectures bring that point home by talking about them. I don't give them the answers, they talk about them from their perspective. Okay, finally, occasionally it breaks up. Hearing from me, hear from them. So right now we're going to hear from our video guest lectures. If you have the lecture notes, you're gonna be able to take notes on their title, on their organization, on the type of organization they have. So pay attention to what we're about to hear from our introduction to our video guest lectures. Okay, here's the information on the lecture notes, page 20, what you're going to fill out. Let's hear.
My name is Valerie Twing. I graduated from Kent State University in 1995 with a Bachelor of Business Administration degree. Currently, I am the director of the business office for a small consulting firm in Washington, D.C. that does government contracting and consulting.
My name is Tim Apel. I am currently the president of AAA Homes in Ravenna. My background is I went to Kent and I earned my bachelor's in accounting and then went right back and got my MBA from Kent as well. I'm from Kent, so it was kind of natural that I stayed there. Worked in public accounting for a couple years, and in probably about 94, I've come here and I've been here ever since.
My name is Don Kosak. I earned my master's degree in business administration from Kent State University back in 1992. Currently, I am the vice president for business services for Time Warner Cable Business Services in Akron, Ohio.
Hello, my name is Rob Felber. I earned a Bachelor of Science in Education from Kent State University way back in something that you may have heard of called the 80s. And currently, I am president of Felber and Felber Marketing. And where, as you may see, from time to time, I have various roles.
Hi, I'm Fred Hunt. I have two degrees, an international business degree from Texas Tech University, as well as an MBA from Oklahoma City University. Presently, I am director of marketing for the Sherwin-Williams Company here in Cleveland.
My name's Dan Muller, and I've earned an undergraduate degree from Kent State in 1979 in computer science and operations research, double major. And then also got an MBA from Kent in 1991. And currently I'm the president of distribution services for the Timken Company, which is headquartered in Canton, Ohio, Fortune 500 company.
Hi, my name is Michelle Skin. I am the director of the Fisher Titus Foundation. I received my Bachelor's of Business Administration from Kent State University with a major in marketing in 1980. And happy to be here.
My name is Gary Trinetti, and I earned a Bachelor of Business Administration, emphasis on marketing, from Kent State University. Graduated in 1976 from the university. Currently, I am the CEO president of a company called Garrick, which, interesting enough, was started with my partner, who was also a Kent State graduate in 76, and we started the company in 1980.
Hi, my name is Jim Wise, and I earned my degree at Kent State back in 89. I was a graduate with a degree in marketing, and I am currently now a general manager, vice president of a local car dealership, Don Joseph Toyota, here in Kent, and I have been there for 22 years now. And it's been a very interesting and fulfilling job, that's for sure. Larry, I actually had you in as a marketing professor. I was a student in a large setting classroom back in the early 80s. I remember it well. It was actually one of my favorite classes. That's what actually got me into marketing to do what I'm doing today.
Hey, my name is Shane Ditka. Born and raised in New Jersey. Got a degree in business management with a concentration in accounting to be an accountant. I was an accountant for about 5 years doing actual accounting, debits and credits. I ended up finding that I was very interested in marketing just because I had kind of an entrepreneurial bug. Ended up starting a bow tie company and having to market it to sell bow ties, I created a blog to attract customers through Google search, right? And then I got really good at that and then actually pivoted away from bow ties to being an affiliate. Instead of selling my own products as an e-commerce store, I sold someone else's products as an affiliate in the pest control niche. So I would partner up with Amazon or other people who sell stuff and sell their stuff for a commission as in pest control. After that, I did that for about a year, 2 years, ended up selling that part of my business, and then I joined up most recently as a director of SEO with a company called Three Ships, which specializes in affiliate marketing for big brands like Terminix, big like home warranty companies, Orkin, another one. So very big companies that are looking to grow through affiliate marketing.
My name is Patrick Gorgon. I am a sales associate at Protégé. I am an alumnus of University of Missouri, otherwise known as Mizzou. And I have a Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration with a minor in Entrepreneurship. I do sales for Protégé. I operate on the market research arm of our business. And I am, prospecting. I manage the full sales cycle. So prospecting, finding new potential clients, managing the outreach process, and then working with them to facilitate their research projects.
So here we see the filled out information, the title of each person, the type of organization, whether it's business to business, business to consumer, entrepreneurial situation, right? And whether they're selling a product or a service, etc. So that's worth, looks like that would be testable, right? You can tell, of course, that some of these interviews are from older folk. The last couple are really current individuals. The point isn't how old they are. The point is that as they talk about marketing and business, they're applying the concepts that we're talking about in class. So yes, some are older, some are newer, and their concepts are all demonstrating the importance of marketing to them in the real world of business. So this ends the introduction part of our lecture. We have just a few minutes left, and I'm going to spend those few minutes going into chapter one, actual course content, actual course material. So again, bear with me a second. So here we are in actual course content, and we're in chapter one, creating customer relationships and value through marketing. So it's a high level overview of what marketing's all about. If you have the lecture notes in front of you, which you should have, we're in lecture notes page 21. I think I said in preliminary email we might get to 20. We've actually gotten a little further into the beginning of the course material. So take notes, it's testable. So what is marketing? Well, your textbook, your authors on page 4 say, you are a marketing expert. I disagree. Write that down. Your instructor disagrees with the textbook. You are involved in marketing every day, but you're not a marketing expert. I'm sorry, if you're an expert, you don't need to take the course. You could teach the course. That's just plain silly. But I understand their point. You're familiar with marketing every day. You come in contact with marketing every day. In this course, you actually think about marketing differently than you normally think about it. So let's look at a different view of what is marketing. Marketing is the activity, the set of institutions, and the processes for creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for customers, clients, partners, and society at large. This is the American Marketing Association definition of marketing. If we jump out to their, if we jump out to their website, we will see exactly that definition of marketing, along with a bunch of other definitions that they feel are important. Okay. Now, as is true of so much in marketing, not everyone agrees with this definition. So here is a writer in the area, a guy by the name of Mike Smock, who says, hey, marketers can hardly get it right in small enterprises. How are they going to extend the idea of marketing to society at large? The bottom line is CEOs are disgruntled with marketing, and this definition doesn't help. It gets away from fundamentals like sales, revenue, margins, and market share. Nancy Costolopoulos, the chief marketing officer of AMA, said, well, we anticipate some dissent. It's healthy for the profession to have a dialogue and a conversation, but 70% of the 1,000 marketers who saw the new definition agreed with it. My thinking is that this is a high-level strategic view of marketing, and Mike Smock is down at the frontline operations level thinking about what marketing does there. Okay, we're out of time. We didn't get very far into the content. We'll pick up right here next time. See you next time.